Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome to an adventure in history again. We are so happy that you're joining us, whether live on the radio, KMUN, our gracious host, or if you're listening to us on a podcast, KMUN.org.
And I have to apologize.
You do.
How long have I been using my mouth? All my life.
Yes.
I bit my tongue just a little bit before we went on the air, and it really hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why do we do that?
Bite your tongue, Matt. I didn't even say that to him.
It kind of hurts.
It does.
And when I did it, I thought, I've been eating all of my life. Why am I now messing up?
Oh, it does happen. And so let's talk for 28 minutes and 10 seconds. Let's see how it goes.
I should have some ice or something. But
well, I do have a good word of the day. Yeah.
I should have told you this. You could have found something that was tied into it.
Well, I mean, this could, you know, work for or against you. A bladderoon.
A bladderoon.
Noun. Person, place, or thing. A bladderoon.
Oh, I think I'm going to like this. Now, I'm going to go with the obvious, bladder. So,
But it's B-L-A-T-T.
Oh.
Blatter. Blatteroon.
Okay. I think a bladderoon is somebody who can't keep their mouth shut. Talks all the time. A blabbermouth.
You got it. Yeah. So second time. A person who talks or boasts incessantly or constantly. Something that you're going to have trouble doing.
I'm really excited that I just got that word.
That was pretty good.
That's a good word. We should bring that one back for sure.
But I did kind of, you know, I steered you in the right direction.
You did.
But, you know, I usually do spell it too.
So. Well, I was going to say, usually I ask for it to be spelled.
Yeah. So blatteroon.
Blatteroon.
Yep.
A bladderoon.
Yep.
So I would love
if kind of what we're doing.
That's true.
I mean, we are, you know, we kind of live this on the radio. Talk incessantly.
Okay. Okay. So just like a week ago, I'm going to the bank. I'm not going to say which bank, but one of I have a great rapport with all of the bank tellers, and maybe they just hate me, but they are great at customer service.
Sure.
But one of them that I riff with a lot, I'm coming across the parking lot, and she sees me through the drive-thru, but I don't notice that she's in the drive-thru window. I just hear all of a sudden the microphone really loud says, "Not today." And it made me laugh.
Oh,
and
funny.
I wish there had been other people to hear it.
Yeah.
And I like comedically put my shoulders down, turn around, started walking back to my car.
Just you.
Not today.
Not today.
So anyway, I don't know why that made me think of it. Oh, because a bladderoon.
Yeah.
People would not want to talk to a bladderoon.
Correct.
If they could avoid it.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody at the bank thinks I am.
Well, yes.
I'd be okay with that.
That's okay.
All right. Shall we get to the big show?
Yes. Well, I do have one thing.
You do? Oh my goodness.
Today, before we move to tomorrow, but today is Mark's and my 17th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. That is quite a milestone.
It is.
I would say it feels like 27.
And what do you get for 17th? Is that paper? Is that silver?
It's not paper because Mark actually got me paper for one of them. You know, it was like one of those first five. And I was just like,
really?
Do I look like a scrapbook person? Because it was, you know, that nice, like, no, thank you.
I don't know if it still exists. When we first moved to town, I don't know if it was here or maybe it was over on the peninsula, but we were cracking up about how everything could be married to coffee, that there was like a bike repair shop and coffee, a locksmith with a coffee shop inside, and there was a scrappuccino.
Ooh, yeah.
That
I can see
had
that.
Scrapbooking and coffee, and it made us laugh.
Yep. Partners so, colliding, yeah. Right?
And I kind of like the name, scrappuccino. Yeah. So
that would work.
If they're still out there, I'm apparently plugging them for no reason. And if they don't exist anymore...
We're thinking about you.
At least made us talk about you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. 17 years. And I was going to say, and 17 more, but I hope a lot more than 17 more.
Yes, exactly. 17 years, two children, all the fun things. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And still newlyweds.
Oh, I know. It's great.
You two have a great partnership. You really
do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're both very outgoing and very committed to our community. And we just, you know. Adore our little girls. So
and it's really well curated on Facebook.
Yes. through our children, though, right? Yeah. Because yes. we are truly like either working for them or chauffeuring them.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But you two are in the photos every now and then.
Every now and then, yeah. We're there.
I assume you're taking
just,
a photo.
Just exhausted, yep.
All right, let's see the history highlights for tomorrow.
Yes.
So we're talking June 10th. I don't have a huge list. 1692, the first Salem witch hanging, Bridget Bishop. And we had a whole show about this.
We did.
Because there's a descendant.
Yes.
Of one of the... one of the villains, one of the yep. one of the people making the decisions.
One of the judges, right? It was a judge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great show because we talked, too, about how few of these cases were documented.
Oh, yeah.
But so many more women were persecuted
oh, yeah.
than documented, right? But the Salem witch trials, again, pretty well documented with the names.
Yep. But Bridget, poor Bridget.
Yep, the first one.
Today. 1752, Benjamin Franklin flies a kite during a thunderstorm and discovers electricity. No, he didn't. I wonder how many people that was their takeaway in elementary school.
Oh, I'm
sure. With his key on the kite, he discovered electricity.
Yep. And what, George Washington in the cherry tree.
That's right. I mean, what he really did was just prove that that lightning was electricity.
And that his mother was correct that he shouldn't go outside and fly a kite in a thunderstorm.
Yes. 1770, British explorer Captain James Cook, which we've talked about him before, is the first European to discover the Great Barrier Reef. First European,
right.
Obviously the documented. Aborigines and others mm-hmm. in Australia knew it existed. But he discovers the Great Barrier Reef off Australia by running aground on its coral, causing the ship to leak, and the ship later had to be beached and repaired.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, well, you didn't know it was there.
Coral's a little sharp. Yeah.
Ever been to Australia?
I haven't, no.
On the bucket list? Would you want to go?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I find a lot of things on that continent that'll kill you, so I don't know that I want to go, but I think I would want to go.
Maybe Fiji. I mean, Fiji's, you know, just so, nearby.
So my Fiji story, when I was a younger man, I worked at, when I was in college, in a Sears in the warehouse, unloading trucks and loading people's trucks or cars when they bought something, and I worked with a guy from Fiji. Or maybe it was Tonga. Oh, no. Maybe it was Tonga. Oh. But I had a red beard. My beard was very red at the time. And he found that incredibly funny.
No.
And one time when I finally said something, oh, well, you know, my beard's kind of red. Doesn't match my hair. And he just started laughing. And he said, you have a red beard. And he was cackling. And I don't know what it meant culturally. It was obviously something very funny to him.
Right.
So I've never journeyed to...
either
of those places to find out why a red beard is so funny.
He definitely wrote home about it.
Manasi Latu, that was his name. Oh. He was a neat guy. Anyway, a little sidetrack for no reason. 1869, Agnes, a ship called Agnes, arrives in New Orleans with the first ever shipment of frozen beef.
Ooh.
That was almost going to be my history highlight.
That's pretty impressive.
Exactly.
It was still frozen.
1869, frozen food.
Yeah.
You can ship it all over the place now. But I didn't know if that was just like the first time in New Orleans had gotten it, first time something on a ship, or whether...
And how far?
Yeah.
How far did it go?
So I needed to do a deeper dive, and I did not. 1935, Alcoholics Anonymous founded.
That's good.
Good for them.
Yeah. 30s, yeah.
1953, Eisenhower rejects calls for U.S. isolationism. We have to be out there in the world. We have to be a partner in the world.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But our history highlight of the day... And the thing I think had the most impact, and it's kind of an easy one, or a cheap one to choose, that I don't have to argue for it. 1775, John Adams proposes a continental army. If we're talking about independence, maybe we need an army.
Yeah, it was very influential on the life we live, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, did I miss any?
No. Yeah. I mean, I kind of cheated and asked you ahead of time if you had the important ones.
You
so.
Did. Yeah. So speaking of Ben Franklin.
Yes.
And my how many kids just retained and that's all they remember Ben Franklin as this amazing great inventor. And he was kind of a good inventor. He's more funny than anything else. And he is an intellectual, a funny intellectual.
Yeah.
But it made me think, and I had this in kind of in our emergency broadcast system. But a thing about history's most underappreciated female inventors.
Which I love. I love to hear it.
Because it's not just men in those labs or coming up with great ideas. So we thought we would highlight, even though there's none in Astoria or Clatsop County, and I don't even think any in Oregon on our list.
On our list.
They still make an impact on our daily lives today.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to start us out? Or actually, I will. Okay. So you've all heard of Marie Curie, the famous scientist who was a pioneer in radioactive metals. But what about the rest of the famous women throughout the years that changed the way we live with their inventions? So here's our a list of some important women.
We're going to start with Mary Anderson and the invention of windshield wipers.
Ooh, I like those.
Yes. Rancher. Well, of course, we appreciate these here in Clatsop County, right? Rancher and vineyard operator Mary Anderson added inventor to her recipe in 1903 when she patented the first effective set of windshield wipers. Anderson was living in New York City at the time and noticed that the trolley car in which she was riding had an open front windshield. The open window was necessary to allow the driver to see the road under falling sleet, but was less than optimal for the freezing passengers within. Accordingly, Mary Anderson invented what would become the first working version of a windshield wipers featuring a rubber blade attached to a spring-loaded arm that could move across the windshield to clear snow, ice, and rain. She received a patent for the device and attempted to sell the rights to the gadget. However, her potential buyer didn't feel the idea would ever amount to anything and declined. Fast forward about a century, and the so-called useless idea is now standard on cars, trucks, buses, and dozens of other things with wheels.
Yeah, neat. So I had when I was a poor college student, I had a Volkswagen Beetle. And, you know, they had those little triangle windows for the air conditioning, basically. And there was a winter where my windshield wipers didn't work at all. And I was driving from college to home. It was like a 3 or 4 hour drive. And it was snowing. And I had to keep that open and keep reaching out with my left hand and wiping the windshield in front of me. It was very unsafe.
Yes, it was.
So thank you, Mary Anderson.
Yes.
All right. So next one. Our next one is Stephanie Kwolek. K-W-O-L-E-K. So sorry, Stephanie, if I'm mispronouncing your last name. She invented Kevlar. That's kind of surprising.
Also spelled with a K.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's why it's spelled with a K. Like many good things, Stephanie Kwolek's invention was made almost unintentionally. She studied chemistry with a desire to become a doctor, and along the way, took a research position with DuPont Company. It was there that she started to work with long molecule chains at low temperatures, and after she gained national attention for her work, she shifted career paths to research chemistry. In 1971, she released commercially a very strong synthetic liquid crystalline polymer solution at a strength of 5 times that of steel, but much lighter, resistant to wear and corrosion. This invention would become what we know now as Kevlar. This ingredient is widely used today in multiple products such as bulletproof vests, safety helmets, camping gear, and even suspension bridges.
Wow.
She lived till 2014.
Oh, yeah, at age 91, too. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Next one, Marion Donovan, the disposable diaper.
Oh, thank you, Marion.
Yes. Fed up with the messiness that came with soiled cloth diapers, Fort Wayne, Indiana mother Marion Donovan began inventing what would eventually become the disposable diaper. Donovan's first invention came in the late 1940s when she took a shower curtain and sewed it into a waterproof cloth diaper cover. After the product was panned by manufacturers, she continued to improve on the design, including adding plastic snaps and branding the item as a boater. Finally, Donovan was able to sell the product to Saks Fifth Avenue and later sold her company along with the patents to the Kiko Corporation for a cool $1 million. In 1961, Victor Mill used the product as inspiration to create the first disposable diapers, Pampers.
Wow.
And she lived to the age of 81, 1998.
So I can't imagine. Ugh. Well, I can't imagine. I'm just horrified.
Yes.
At cloth diapers and having to change and wash them repeatedly.
Well, and cloth diapers even now have come so far, right? With that plastic. And I mean, they too are kind of have that sort of disposable feature to them too. Some parts of them. The plain old just cloth. I mean, what does it do? Nothing.
Yeah. And I get the throwaway culture that we live in now and filling vast junkyards with disposable diapers, but from having to change my kid.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
It was much more
pleasant.
So that's
the next invention we're looking for, right? Is the recyclable materials for disposable diapers.
I would be down with that.
Yeah.
All right. But Amanda Jones, what have you done for us? I'll tell you what. Vacuum packaging.
Very nice.
So though she didn't invent food or storing food in jars, scientist Amanda Jones reinvented the way we store food with the vacuum method of canning. Later known as the Jones method, Amanda Jones and her cousin, Leroy C. Cooley, collaborated on the process that allowed food to be preserved for much longer, way back in 1872.
Wow.
Jones attempted to make a business out of the invention, founding the Women's Canning and Preserving Company in 1890. Unfortunately for her, the business, which placed women in places of power, failed. However, her method of canning permanently changed the food industry forever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, I hate that she didn't make a bunch of money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a... it's a storyline that continues, yes. Right? Okay, so Betty Nesmith Graham, liquid paper is her invention, also known as whiteout. Ways before changing something we'd written was as simple as using the backspace or delete button on our keyboards, mistakes had to be corrected directly on paper. Is that a little side note for listeners who are
there was such a way thing younger than us? As whiteout.
Thanks to Betty Nesmith Graham, rather than having to start over after writing or typing mistakes, errors could quickly and easily be corrected using her invention. Graham was working as a secretary in the 1950s when she grew tired of having to retype a document anytime she made an error. So Graham took it upon herself to invent a white, water-based tempera paint that could be used for covering up typing errors or small spelling mistakes. The idea caught on, with Graham first marketing the product as Mistake Out. These days, those that still use the pen and paper may know this time-saving invention as whiteout or liquid paper.
So I have to ask, because I am older than you. Mm-hmm. I am significantly older than you. I actually took typewriting in high school, and my mother was a medical transcriptionist, so she could work at home, and she used whiteout, and I used whiteout in that high school class. Have you ever used an actual typewriter, and did you ever use whiteout?
I did. So in my middle school, we were just learning computers. Mm-hmm. So typing had just switched to computers, but we didn't have one just yet. So we had the electrical typewriter, right? Uh-huh. So it was like a step up.
Yes.
So yes, I did use whiteout. I did, you know, sort of like dread typing papers and making those mistakes. I mean, I remember writing essays in pen.
Oh, sure. Of course.
I mean, the whole essay in pen. I mean, I just think of that now and I cringe. I'm like, oh my gosh, like pages and pages, yes, worth of it. But yeah, very quickly. So thankfully, very quickly, that kind of went out the door by the high school, and then college for sure. I was using computers. But we didn't have laptops. I mean, those weren't around.
I was the last class in my high school where taking computers was optional.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of think I was right in that bridge year of, oh, we could still take typing for one half semester, and we could take the introduction to computer programming.
Well, and ours was mostly typing, right? Yeah. That's what they're teaching you. Oh, yeah. Because I don't remember learning much else.
In the four-finger method.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to let you do the next one.
Okay. All right. Mary Phelps Jacob. She invented the bra.
Because it's about women's underwear. Yes. And I'm embarrassed.
Well, I'll say it's used by lots of people in the world. Mary Phelps Jacob invented a unique item. I am a little surprised this was invented by a woman, but it's the brassiere.
Surprised by that?
But it's because technically, the first bra was invented by a man. It just wasn't called that. Okay. But she was tired of the uncomfortable, awkward, and unattractive corsets that women had been wearing for some time. Jacob took some silk handkerchiefs, ribbons, and cord and sewed them all together to what would become the first modern-day bra. Her invention soon caught on, popular with both women who wanted both comfort and support and men who enjoyed the look of the undergarment. Soon after, Jacob changed her name and began marketing the items under the name Caress Crosby. She went on not only to sell the patent to the Warner Brothers Corset Company, but also to help her country. The U.S. government requested women stop wearing corsets during World War I to help conserve metal. That's interesting.
That is interesting. I'm still fascinated that you think like a man would think to even invent this.
Yes.
It just seems like an entirely like women... unhappy with what they're wearing.
Yes.
Going, you know what would make my life a little more comfortable? But then nowadays, maybe not. At the end of the day.
Does it make our lives more comfortable?
Does it? Yeah.
I mean.
Or is it really something just for men?
Yes.
Suddenly, Alana and I go someplace we're not comfortable going. All right. So let's move on to something totally different. Hedy Lamarr and the Spread Spectrum Communication Technology. Wow. Okay. That's bringing the show to a totally different direction.
Yes.
It's a precursor to Wi-Fi, though.
That's pretty cool.
It is. Austrian actress Hedy Lemire was a considerable movie star back during the golden age of MGM. Her films included Ziegfeld Girl, now I've heard of that, Tortilla Flat, and Samson and Delilah, all in the 1940s. Less wildly publicized at the time was Lemire's work with avant-garde composer George Antheil. Together, the two developed what was known as spread spectrum technology, an early version of frequency hopping that used a piano roll to disguise radio frequencies. Initially utilized during World War II as a secret communication system, similar technologies today used to configure and organize mobile phone and wireless communication systems.
Wow.
The duo made the breakthrough by manipulating radio frequencies at irregular intervals. This helped create a system by which classified messages could be transmitted without fear of the enemy intercepting any information. The same technology is still used today, though evolved to power wireless communications.
Interesting. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's fascinating. 1940s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anne Moore. She invented the baby sling. Anne Moore worked in the Peace Corps in Africa, where she saw mothers holding their babies in slings on their back. So maybe she didn't invent it.
She stole it.
She was impressed with both the efficiency of the simple devices and also how close it allowed mother and child to remain during everyday activities and tasks. Using those ideas, Moore took an old backpack and retrofitted it to sit on her chest rather than her back. She cut holes for the baby's arms and legs and eventually came up with the first baby carrier, which she called the Snuggly. Today, the same carriers are called all sorts of things, but each are only a knockoff from Moore's original invention, which came from the women in Africa.
Yes, cultural appropriation.
That's an interesting one, yes.
So we did not, I don't know if they were invented or used or commonplace, but for my kids, we did not have that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I love them.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. They're amazing.
I can never quite tell whether it's something really comfortable or whether it'd be annoying for either the child or the adult.
Yeah. Well, my 4-year-old was 19 pounds at four months old. 4 months.
Wow.
So, I mean, she couldn't crawl or walk, right? So I had to carry her everywhere. So a baby sling or baby carrier definitely was preferred.
Patsy O'Connell Sherman, I like her name, invented Scotch Guard.
Ooh.
So adding another everyday product to the list of items invented mistakenly, chemist Patsy Sherman turned a lab mishap into the creation of a successful product. Sherman was working at the 3M company in the 1950s when she was tasked with developing a new rubber for use with jet aircraft fuel lines. She, along with partner Sam Smith, were working one day when an assistant dropped a bottle of chemicals, splashing some of the contents on the assistant's shoes. Isn't this when you're supposed to turn into a supervillain?
Right.
Rather than damaging the shoes, the combination of the canvas, shoes, and the chemical created a surface that was clean and repelled water and
Ooh.
Other liquids like oil. This fluorochemical polymers would later become the key ingredient in household protectant Scotch Guard, which
wow.
is widely used for the day to this day as a stain repellent and material protector.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
Thankfully, his feet didn't fall off.
Yeah.
Ruth Graves Wakefield invented the chocolate chip cookies. I love this. Perhaps the most delicious item invented unintentionally. She will forever be thanked for her creation of the chocolate chip cookie. Wakefield cooked for Toll House Tourist Lodge outside of Boston, Massachusetts, beginning in 1930. As the story goes, one day Ruth was making chocolate cookies, but discovered that she was out of baking chocolate. So in a pinch, she chopped up some Nestle semi-sweet chocolate and tossed it into the cookie dough, hoping the chocolate would melt and integrate nicely with the dough. Instead, the chocolate remained in chip form, thus creating chocolate chip cookies. Wakefield named the creations after her lodge, Toll House Crunch Cookies, and of course, it didn't take long for them to become a national sensation. Nestle, in particular, benefited massively from the invention, with sales of their chips going through the roof. Eventually, Wakefield and Nestle partnered to market Toll House Cookies, with Nestle printing the recipe on their packages. In exchange, Wakefield received a lifetime supply of chocolate. I would want like more. I would want more than that. Yes. I mean, a lifetime supply is not bad, but still.
So, Josephine Cochran, the dishwasher.
Ooh, yes. Thank you, Josephine.
Saving many of us hours of work in dishpan hands, Josephine Cochran invented a primitive version of a device currently installed in millions upon millions of homes, the dishwasher. Cochran had wanted a smarter, not harder way to complete the task of washing dishes and took it upon herself to create the first machine to complete the work for her. As unveiled in 1893, a little bit different than today's dishwashers, Cochran's machine consisted of a wooden box that would splash water on dishes using a hand crank. At first, only restaurants and hotels were interested in the idea, but in 1949, KitchenAid started to manufacture the gadgets for a wider audience. Decades later, the hand crank is long gone, but we are still thankful for the idea of automated dishwashing as invented by Josephine Cochran.
Oh, yes. I definitely like it. Let's go to Ruth Handler. She invented the Barbie doll. Nearly everyone knows the name Barbie and the iconic blonde-haired dolls, but if you know the name Ruth Handler, who first invented America's favorite doll, Barbie, in the 1950s. Handler saw her daughter playing with paper dolls and was inspired to create a three-dimensional adult doll for her little girl. Using a nickname for her daughter, Handler named the doll Barbie and began to market it at toy fairs. Despite initial static, the Barbie doll became a sensation and Handler founded the Mattel Company. Today, the Barbie doll remains one of the best-selling toys in the world.
And wasn't she a character in the movie Barbie?
She was. It was a pretty cute movie. I thought it was cute.
It was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that if people take it too seriously, I mean, it's still meant to be, you know, eye-opening and a spoof and... It's about Barbie, folks.
Yes. And our last one, Patricia Billings, Geobond. Hmm. As a sculptor, Patricia Billings worked in the 1970s on several pieces, but was frustrated by how easily her sculptures would shatter. So she set out to create a cement additive that would help them retain their shape and prevent breakage. It took her several years of experimentation, but eventually Billings created an indestructible, fireproof, and non-toxic plaster material known as Geobond. While she intended the product for art and sculpture, the heat-resistant and non-toxic qualities made it a perfect material to add to build materials, including a safe replacement for asbestos. Billings was not only inventive, but also smart, and to this day keeps the secret and patented recipe for Geobond tightly under wraps.
Ooh.
Way to go, Patricia.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
So let me ask you this, and this is, you may not know the answer, but in the world of museums and history and data collection, do you find that there are, like, this is a field dominated still by men or by women now? And not just Clatsop County. I mean
museums in general, or do you mean inventors?
Museums. Oh, I mean, museums. Because the data collection, right? Like, that's, you know, where what we're talking about. That's just collecting.
It varies to kind of depending on the museum. Okay. Specialty museums, art museums tend to have a lot more females than males. And a lot of it also depends on the funding and the size and scope. I think as a profession, the museum, like, I have a degree in public history, and there are museum studies programs. And I think, like all colleges, there's far more women entering these fields. So I think the profession is moving towards being far more females. I think maybe 50 years ago, it was probably more heavily men, but I think it is shifting.
Because like we said, I mean, it's there is information out there. It's about getting that information into a format like Dr. Chelsea Vaughn is doing here by putting it online so that people can access it very easily. And being able to see those stories and share these stories about underappreciated folks out there. Like there we just did today. Yeah. Good one, Mac.
All right. So thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.